us our reading, and then Angela's going to come and speak to us.
Good morning, everyone. this morning's reading is from chapter 6 of Ephesians, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus will tell you everything. He is a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace be to the whole community, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I feel very privileged to speak to you today on this last section of the book of Ephesians, exploring the unity of its overall theme. We've had the great theology of the first few chapters, and now we come to the practical section. We consider the unity that Jesus Christ has won by his death and resurrection, unity between God, his people, Jew and Gentile, and the whole created order, being one together, standing firmly together. So let us pray. Dear Lord, please open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, that we might be able to apply it to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the Christian life, we often have to decide whether we're going to be an overcomer or overcome, a victor or a victim. I know what I would rather be. Ephesians 6 is, for me, one of the most dramatic passages in the Bible. In describing the armor of God, it spells out to the Christian the reality of the spiritual battle we are engaged in. And it gives us clear instructions on how to prepare ourselves to be effective against the forces of darkness that come against us. The key word, repeated at least four times, is stand. Stand your ground, as in verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. What are we standing against? Well, it tells us, doesn't it, in verse 13, our chief adversary is known as Satan, otherwise known as Lucifer or the devil. The Hebrew meaning of Satan, the name Satan, means adversary, and the Greek for devil is diabolos, meaning slanderer. Paul says in verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." This enemy is not human, but a cosmic intelligence who uses power destructively, is wicked, having no morals, and is cunning, seldom attacking openly, preferring darkness to light. He is at his most cunning when he persuades people that he and his demons do not exist. C.S. Lewis has given a really good illustration of this in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Screwtape is an experienced devil advising his nephew on how to bring about the downfall of a young man who has just become a Christian. He suggests that since devils are usually comic figures in the modern imagination, if the young man starts to get suspicious that the devil is in fact a reality, he should be given a mental picture of something in red tights. And then he'll quickly drop the idea that there's a devil, because it would be so ridiculous to think of red tights and horns and tails. Too unbelievable. But it is clear from the Gospels that Jesus believed in the existence of the devil. We have to remember that God is all-powerful. He created Satan, who was once an archangel in heaven, until he grew too proud. He was a beautiful angel, but he wanted all the glory that was due to God. And Jesus describes in Luke 10 how he watched Satan thrown out of heaven, and a third of all the angels went with him, the rebellious ones who became the demons. Jesus reassures us by continuing, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Through the power of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, the major victory was won. And although the small battles and skirmishes will continue until his second coming, we have nothing to fear if we follow our Saviour. I wonder what you were afraid of. You were afraid of spiders? The dark? Someone who hurts you? Recently, I was afraid of falling off a cliff ledge. I was in Madeira and we were doing a Levada walk. The Levada walks are the channels of water the Portuguese early settlers there brought down water from the top of the mountains to the bottom, concrete channels, walking along. And then suddenly we had to follow this ledge round a cliff. And it grew narrower and narrower until you just had to cling on like this and not look down, because if you did, there was a steep gorge. Well, I got halfway round and I froze. I absolutely froze. I couldn't move. I couldn't go back. I couldn't go forward. Well, I know I prayed And then I called to my friend who'd gaily, she goes round these things without any bother, gaily going on. She came back for me, held out her stick, and I just had to touch the end, like Adam touching God's finger. And then I was able to come around the edge and make my way to the next obstacle. But they've closed that walk since. It's not in the book anymore. Far too dangerous. Anyway, I do get a bit afraid when walking. But it was bulls on Thursday out near Tortworth. Field of bulls. Would you go through? I was already going through when I spotted them. Anyway, they stayed there. Anyway, now you know Angela's fears. But we have prayer as our weapon, don't we? As we'll consider further. And we have the armour of God to protect us from evil. And we should wear it at all times. That means even in bed at night. I just love that little opening song, God's suit on, didn't you? The young lady rolled out of bed, but I hope she already had slept in it. But it was such a jolly start to today, wasn't it? So this armour, illustrated over here, will help us to stand even when we are under great pressure and persecution. And let's face it, we're not under such persecution here as many millions of our brothers and sisters through the world in countries like North Korea and the Middle East, Libya. Oh, so many, so many. Open Doors have given us a whole list of almost 100. Paul, writing this letter to the Ephesians, describes six main pieces of a soldier's equipment. He was imprisoned and chained to a Roman guard, so we would have had time to consider what the man was wearing, which must have inspired the pieces of equipment he chose to use as his analogy. A helmet. That came from Pilgrim's Progress, by the way. Do you remember that? A belt. Oh, a breastplate. Thank you, Rachel, for making our breastplate. Hang on the eagle there. Boots. Belt. Belong to me. A shield. Annie contributed. Shield from a Ugandan tribe. A bit small, but made to cover your front. And lastly, a sword, which is a very, it's almost an inheritance of Chris Thomas, and I must take care of it. He's had it many years. So that's my little collection there for you to help you remember. Do you know, in the Old Testament, God himself is depicted as a warrior putting on, in Isaiah 59 verse 17, in order to help his people, he puts on righteousness as the breastplate and a helmet on his head. God himself wears armor, figuratively speaking, to protect us. So let's consider each of these parts of the equipment that a soldier needs to stand firm and see what it all means. Well, first of all, we have the helmet of salvation. This was very strong, made of iron or bronze, and it often had a visor to protect the face. I think that's a very good likeness. Sometimes they had a plume, didn't they? The helmet of salvation. Would you like to figuratively put it on your heads? Helmet of, and say it, helmet of salvation. Because if there's one thing I'd like at the end of this little talk, it's that you go away able to remember the six pieces of the heavenly armor. So we have the helmet of salvation, which is our trust in knowing that we are forgiven by God for our sins, the wrongs we've done. We've said sorry to Jesus for his for all we've done wrong and thank him for his death on the cross, his shed blood. We're then forgiven, look forward to eternal life forever. That is our salvation. Our helmet reminds us of it, and no one is going to take it away from us. God won't. He holds us with our salvation. So then, what do we have next? Oh, a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness enables us to have a right relationship with God, to be right with God, and to have a sense of morality, a sense of right and wrong. I've always been so thankful since I've been a Christian to know that God is a moral God. He's a good God. It protects our heart, which is where we can be stirred up emotionally, spiritually, and it's a very strong piece of armor, usually metal, that prevents us being wounded by the accusations and lies of Satan, the father of deception. So we stand rightly with God with our breastplate on. Would you like to put your breastplate on? And it goes round your back as well. So we are fully covered and we're right with God and we know right from wrong. Then we get our belt of truth. Truth holds everything together, just as the soldier's belt gathered together his tunic so he could run and move about, and it held his sword so that he was unimpeded when marching. The truth is not only the revelation of God in Scripture, but it also means truth in the inward being, where we won't engage in telling lies. We won't let falsehood come out of our mouths, slanderous gossip, hypocrisy. We speak truth, we think truth, we guard truth. So we have our belt of truth. Thirdly, the boots of the gospel of peace. And Gemma gave us a little reminder about these in her church letter this week, didn't she? How these boots, these stout boots, hobnail boots, had spikes on the bottom so they could really dig into the turf so the soldier could stand his ground, which is what we're being asked to do with our boots on. Would you like to put your boots on and stand your ground? Yes, put your boots on. Boots shod with the gospel of peace. Gospel of peace helps us to be ready to bear witness to Jesus Christ as God's peacemaker. We have a peacemaker here with us today. We have Joseph with us, Joseph Bilal from South Sudan. Joseph has broken peace over many years in his home country and is often called upon to do so, to bring about peace between warring tribes in southern Sudan. Thank you for being with us today, Joseph. He's on the brink of going back again in a week or so to Sudan, southern Sudan, because he has many documents to consider and bring before the council there, the governing body of the new university, the Christian University. So we wish you well, Joseph. We've already prayed, haven't we, for you. And then we have the shield of faith. This shield covers our front. It was 1.2 meters by 0.75 meters. That's about a third of the size, that little one. And it was covered. It was made of leather, and we would be often soaked in water, so that when the fiery darts were aimed at it, then it would put them out. So pick up your shield of faith. Hold it in front of you so those fiery darts can't get at you. Scripture tells us that without faith, we cannot please God, because if we don't have faith to believe God keeps his promises, then it means we don't trust him. And he's very sad about that. But faith can be given as a gift from God, and we can build up faith by listening to his word, the Bible where God is written, the love letter we have from God, the guide, the route map, builds up our faith to read it, to listen to it. And what are fiery darts that are aimed at us? These are the wrong thoughts we get that are fired at us, that we're ugly, we're no good, we tell lies, we do this wrong, we do that wrong. Fiery darts are coming at us and fired by the enemy, the demonic things, and we need our shield to protect us from them. And then, last of all, we have, after our shield of faith, we have our sword of the word. This is our sword of the word, which can be used for defense and attack, because it is God's word, which is written, and is sharper than any double-edged sword. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us it can strike between the marrow at the joint of a bone. It's so finely honed, the word always reaches its target, and it never returns to God empty. The word goes out and goes where God will have it go. So, this armor is an armor of peace, mostly defensive rather than offensive. We have to stand our ground wearing it and sleep in it at night. Jesus Christ, because we're often attacked at night, you know, through dreams, we can be attacked by the enemy too. Jesus Christ has already won the battle against evil. And if we stand ready, ready to resist evil when it comes our way, we will keep standing. We're not expected to go looking for evil, by the way. The archangels of light, such as Michael, they look after nations. He looks after Israel. They engage in skirmishes with the archangels who of darkness, Satan's henchmen, who fight in the heavenly realm, those skirmishes which are still going on. We leave the fight to them. And so, we finally come to prayer. Pervading all this is prayer at all times. We are asked to be fully alert, praying in the Spirit for our brothers and sisters, prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit. Thus, prayer and scripture belong together as the chief weapons which the Spirit puts in our hands. Paul also asks for prayer for himself so that he can be a man of peace, like an ambassador who can speak fearlessly but also diplomatically to win friends rather than make enemies. So let us be ready to dig in when trouble comes, to stand up straight, wearing our helmet of salvation, keeping right with God by wearing our breastplate of righteousness, being truthful in all our dealings by wearing our belt, telling others the good news of the gospel, ready to stand and dig in or go wherever the Spirit will take us, wearing our shoes of peace, holding on to our faith in the promises of God, whatever lies or deceptions may come against us, using our shield of faith. It's a lovely shield. I'm looking after it, aren't I? Tell Corky I looked after it. It's his. And and knowing the Word of God by reading the Bible, studying its truth and its meaning. The Lord has answered so many prayers for us at St. Mary's, and if you would like prayer after this service, there are two members of the prayer team who would like to pray for you. They'll be sitting near the back there, so it's private. Or any member of the clergy, or anybody you'd know and trust, you could pray with today. Prayer is powerfully, it's an influence in heaven for earth that we'll never fully understand till we get to heaven. But prayer is dynamite. It's so powerful. God will take it. He won't act without it. So keep praying, everyone. And there's always the prayer tree too. We've got a prayer tree. You can write a little leaf, a prayer, and the prayer team always pray for the prayer leaves. So finally, I would like us to close with a prayer taken from Scripture. And this is a proclamation against the darkness that helps us to stand. And I say this every single day. I usually say it on my face down, and I say it to God and proclaim it out into the atmosphere, because words we speak, always remember to keep them positive, because they're always there. And God hears them, the darkness hears them. And I know when God put me onto this prayer, I found out that my hero evangelists had prayed it too, and former vicar of this church. Do you remember Anne Farmer? She prays it every day. And I do too. It's 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 10. So we'll pray it, and I'll pray it in the personal tense. And you might like to remember that this is a powerful proclamation to make. So here it goes, 1 Peter 5, 6 to 10. I humble myself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift me up in due time. I cast all my anxiety on him, because he cares for me. I will be self-controlled and alert. My enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. I shall resist him, standing firm in the faith, because I know that my brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kind and even worse sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called me to his eternal glory in Christ, after I have suffered a little while, will himself restore me and make me strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Angela.